Let's take our Bibles this morning, go to the book of Proverbs and chapter number 11. The book of Proverbs and chapter number 11 in your Bible. And just walking through the Bible, amen? It's been good. We've been in this series for 6, going on 7 years. Just walking through the Bible, amen? And thank the Lord it doesn't get dull. Amen? The Bible is like a diamond, one somebody said. And every time you turn the diamond, it has a different facet, a different cut, a different delight. So Proverbs is that way. We're going to be looking this morning at verses 23 through 31. Proverbs chapter 11 and verses 23 through 31. We have covered in the last two lessons up to verse 23, up to verse 22. And so we're going to finish out this chapter this morning. A lot of good wisdom here in this passage. And so let's begin. Proverbs 11, verse number 23. Follow along this morning as I read. The Bible says, "The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth. There is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessings shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, but he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the Bible today. Thank you for the wisdom that, God, you've given to us in it to live our lives, to live our daily lives. And this morning I pray that you will just give us a heart to know the wisdom of this passage, to soak it into our hearts, that, Lord, the truths of the passage of the scripture would form our mind and form our heart and our thinking, Lord, as we live our lives for you. And God, I pray that you would keep us, Lord, from an unwise life, an unwise pathway that we could follow that could cause us great trouble in life. And thank you for the admonition of this scripture that, Lord, if we'll follow it, we know our lives will be blessed and useful for you. So bless, we pray, as we look into the passage this morning. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and help us to open our hearts, Lord, to the truths that are here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, as we look at this passage of scripture, again, we have a background as to all of these truths and principles that are found in the book of Proverbs. Now, if there's one word that sums up the book of Proverbs, what would that one word be? Wisdom. Wise. And it's wisdom that is not like rocket science intelligence. It's not that, because not everybody possesses that. Amen? That's how I got in. Amen? We don't all possess that type of smarts or intelligence, but wisdom is not necessarily smarts and intelligence. It is the heart to apply God's principles to our everyday life. You know, God's word is not given to us to just look at and be enamored by. It does that, thank the Lord, but the Bible has a practical purpose in us, and the practical purpose is that it takes our life and causes us to go in the wise path if we're wise enough to hear it. Amen? And that's a big if. Amen? Because not everybody is ready to receive wisdom. Amen? Not everybody's ready to receive it. I don't know how many times as a pastor I've talked to somebody or admonished somebody or encouraged them to follow a certain path in life, and for some reason they just couldn't follow it or just didn't want to follow it. And so sometimes as a preacher of the gospel or as a Christian, sometimes a person isn't ready. But you know what? Wisdom should be something we pursue with the desire of our heart. Amen. It should be something that we want to soak into our heart. We want it to guide us. We want it to shed light on the right path that we ought to go. And that's why God gave us wisdom. He gave it originally through Solomon, he asked God for wisdom. Solomon could have asked for anything he wanted. He could ask for wealth, but he asked for wisdom, and wealth came also. He could have asked for anything, but he wanted God's wisdom. Because, see, if you have wisdom, you have the key to everything in life. And we need to believe that. We need to hold on to that, understand that. So let's look at wisdom. Now, the passage today deals with the wisdom of giving, being a giver. And Scripture is teaching us that there's a wisdom involved in giving. You know, the world will say, no, get all you can, hold on to it, grab all you can. Let me tell you something. The world's wisdom is like sand. You grab a hold of it, and the tighter you get a hold of it, the more it slips right through your fingers. See, the world does not provide the adequate understanding of wisdom, but God does in His Word. We're going to look at giving this morning and what God is teaching us, the wisdom here. So let's delve into it. Verse 23, notice what it says. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Now, this verse is teaching us that the character of a righteous man is revealed in his desires. In his desires. What is your desire? What is your desire? What do you tend, or what is really the priority desire of your heart today? You know, I'm sure if we were honest, we probably wouldn't all say that God's word and living for God is the correct desire. But you know, God in His word has a wonderful, amazing way of working in our heart to follow His desires. We're reminded in Philippians, it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. See, God works in us. You ever had God work in you? Whew. I love to hear about missionaries, how God used them or called them. And you know, most missionaries are in a church just like ours, serving faithfully, little by little, doing what God wants them to do. And the furthest thing from their mind is to be a missionary. But suddenly God comes and works through a preaching, through a message, through Scripture, and just begins to work on their heart. And it reveals that, and it creates a desire in their heart to do it. You know, you don't have to take a missionary and force them. Now, I'm going to twist your arm behind your back, and you're going to go be a missionary and serve the Lord. It doesn't work that way. It's God that works in them both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen? The happiest person in the world is the one whose desires conform to the will of God. Did you catch that? The happiest person in the world is the one whose desires conform to the will of God. Because those desires are the most fulfilling. So he's saying here, our desires. What is it that we desire? But notice the contrast here. the thing, the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Now, I looked up that word expectation, and it means the thing hoped for. Now, some of you may understand what I'm about to say, but there creates in an ungodly man, there is created in his heart a desire or an expectation of wrath that he's going to die. It brings a hopelessness to him. You know, this thing, this matter of suicide, we see a lot of people suicide. I've met people who just say, I just want to die. Can I tell you, God didn't create you so you could have that desire. He said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So God didn't create that desire. But see, the understanding is that when I give up myself for his desire, then I find real life. That's when I find life. When I follow my own desires, it leads me in the wrong path, and it brings me to an expectation of wrath, like I don't want to live. Now, that's prevalent in our world today. I've counseled people that all they say is, I just want to die. Can I tell you what? If they can allow God to work in them and change their desire to where the desire is, I want to give to God. I want to give of myself. You see, by dying, we live. But by living for self, we die. He that loseth his life shall find it again. What does that mean? It means that God made us to give out. It's like a pond. When water flows into a pond, if that water cannot flow out, that pond becomes stagnant. And it's like scum takes over. You ever seen a scummy pond? I know I had a preacher friend one time that he had a tube. He was going fishing. He went out there, he was casting fishing. But he didn't see the sign that this was a water treatment plant. That was a joke, in case you missed it. Amen. He was fishing in a water treatment plant. Oh, well. Amen. Needless to say, he didn't catch anything, which is good. But, okay, had a little diversion there. But this is the wise man's understanding, is that the way to live is to die to self and give my life to others. You can truly live. It's the guy who's always wanting for himself, me, myself, I. That road leads to total unhappiness. God made us not to have to be the resource, but for things to flow through us, not just to us. That's why God made us. You want to find real happiness in life? Start giving. Start giving. You say, oh, no, that doesn't make sense. Well, the selfish life does not bring joy and peace. Right. It can't. There's no way. God didn't make us for that. It brings an expectation of wrath, like there's a consequence for this. And there is. You know, we live in the world today where nobody wants consequences, right? But there truly is consequences if we're opening our eyes, if we're thinking in the right way. There are consequences. So our choices will determine what our consequences will be, and our desire will determine our choices. Amen? Okay, let's look at the next verse. Now, he starts talking about giving. Now, verse 2 teaches us this principle that giving is God's way of receiving. Look at the next verse, verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, And there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Now think of this. He said, here's a guy, he's scattering. He's giving out of what he has. He's scattering. But in the process of his scattering, he is increasing. It's returning back to him. Conversely, here's a guy that withholds it. He's not scattering. He keeps it in. And he holds more than his meat. Now, I think that's teaching that God does provide our needs. You know, as we work and do right and live for the Lord, God's going to provide our need. Amen? But he's talking about a guy that withholds everything, withholds so much that he can't give anything to God. He can't pour out. He withholds. God says, do this. God says, give this, give that. And he withholds it from the Lord. And what happens? It tendeth to poverty. You know, I've never seen a giver struggle or suffer. Never. It doesn't happen. David put it this way, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his children begging bread. See, giving is not just losing. Giving is where God meets the need of both the giver and the receiver. It's a win-win situation. Giving is a win-win situation. Give and it shall be given. Amen? And listen, if our desire is to, you know, be a giver, give of myself, my time, my treasures, my talents, everything I have, as you give that to God, you are not going to lack. Amen? It's when we withhold everything that God has given to us, it's when we hold it in, then it tendeth to poverty. That's the Bible principle. There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth, but it tendeth to poverty. I'll tell you what, I don't want to be in that category. Amen? So here's what wisdom is teaching us. It's teaching us to develop this desire to be a giver, to be a giver in life. Amen. You say, I don't have much. It's not dependent on how much it is. It depends on the desire of your heart. Amen. You say, I have a lot. Then start giving a lot. Amen. And the Lord says, according as a man purpose in his heart, so let him give. It's not somebody that determines for you what you should give. It is as a man purposeth in his heart. So let him give. And I tell you, Scripture's teaching the wisdom of this is the wisdom that it not only meets the needs of the one who receives it, but it also returns and meets the need of the giver. Do you think God's going to owe anybody anything? God's not going to owe anyone anything. Amen. In fact, we find in chapter 22, I believe it is, this verse, it says, he that giveth unto the Lord, he that giveth unto the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. God pays back whatever we give. Amen. Well, it's probably about 10 or 12 years now. No, it's longer than that. I'm losing my mind. Amen. It's probably almost 20 years ago. Man came up to me, and we were having a missions conference, and he filled out the card, and he said, Lord spoke to my heart. This is what I want to give. He put it in the offering plate. Well, as the conference went on, he said, the Lord spoke to my heart again. I filled out a card. I put a second card in. Well, it came along third night. He put a third card. He put three cards in because the Lord spoke to his heart. And he started giving what God told him to give. Preacher didn't tell him what to give. Nobody else in the church told him what to give. He just listened to the Lord. And he had that desire to listen to the Lord. The Lord spoke to him. He said, "Preacher, you won't believe what happened. I went to work, and they told me they made a mistake on the insurance program at our workplace. And rather than slowly giving them all their money back, they decided to give it all back in a lump sum." And he went to work. He found a check from his work in his box that day. He said, "It covered my whole missions giving for that entire year." Now, I'll tell you what, God is able. And you know, those things in life only happen when we have a desire to put our faith in God. Say, "Lord, I'm just going to put my faith in you. I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to do what you want me to do." You say it doesn't work. That's because you haven't tried it. Amen? Anybody who says it doesn't work hasn't done it. But those who have testimony after testimony of what God does. So you see, giving is not just wisdom. It is exercising our faith. But exercising our faith is the essence of wisdom. You say, why? Because we're putting our faith in God. We're trusting Him. And when we trust Him, put our faith in Him, what wisdom can come from that? Amen? So here's the principle. Giving is God's way of receiving. Okay, now, there are two types of biblical giving. One is tithing. Somebody asked me, "Well, what is tithing?" Tithing is the first 10% of all of our income. It's described as the first fruits in the New Testament. It's the first part of what we receive as our income. We take that 10%, we give it to God. Now, that is really actually not even called giving in the Bible. We have to give it, but it's called, the tithing is really actually the Lord's, it's called. And the tithe is the Lord's, the Bible says. And so we're not really giving it, we are returning to God what belongs to Him. Amen? You say, "I don't like that, preacher." Well, that's what He said. Amen? And God said, Malachi 3, verse 6, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that my house may be full." Listen, God has always had a storehouse, a place where He's wanted that tithe to be. So that's what God's saying. That's His word. Now, the second type of biblical giving is giving over and above and beyond that. It's allowing God to speak to your heart, to give, to decide, "You know, Lord, you put that on my heart." I don't know how many times God's put something on my heart to give. And there have been times when I have given it, and there have been times when I haven't. And you know, I always regret the times I didn't. But I always find the blessing in the times that I did obey God. Amen? And God individually speaks to a person's heart. "Hey, you could help this person, help this person." And I believe the wisest way of giving is to give to reach the eternal soul of man. That's why I believe you ought to give to missions. I've been given to missions for over 30 years, just personal. And it's the grace of God and the goodness of God, and I'm thankful for it. But what it does is it invests in eternal souls hearing the gospel and getting saved. That's what it is. It's giving. It's the Lord put upon my heart. And, you know, each one according as his several ability. And it's doing what God would have me to do. But if we are a wise Christian, we will see what God is teaching us through the principle. It's not to get somebody's money. It's not to milk somebody. It's to see the principle of wisdom of God working in their life and seeing what God can do. You say, I don't believe it. Well, try it, and then maybe you will. Amen? But God gives us this wisdom to give. All right, now we look at verse 25. He says here again, on the same subject, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Now notice the liberal soul. Now he's talking about the soul here. When you give, your soul's going to be blessed. Amen? Giving creates joy. Giving creates happiness. And God returns what we give. He always will. You cannot outgive God. Amen. Amen. And so he's talking about this liberal soul, this one that gives. And he that watereth here shall be watered also himself. Well, that's a promise of God. That's a promise of God. So the wise principle is God not only blesses the giver, he blesses the receiver in that. All right, verse 26. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Now, he's talking about somebody who has something, but he's going to hold on to it. He's holding on to it. And notice it says here, the people curse him. He has something. Hey, you're storing up all this stuff, but yet there's a need. We're storing it all up. He says the people will curse him. Now, in Bible days, there was a lot of famine. And it behooved the king to be wise to stock up, so to speak, food for those famines. And then from there, the food in the famine would be sold. The people had enough food, but only as the king stored up. And that storing was to be used to give to meet those needs. I think that's why God blesses us. God gives us things. You say, man, I don't have much. I'll tell you what. Go to a third world country. Go to a third world country. Look at people who live in cardboard boxes, dirt floors. And a wind comes along and blows the metal off of their roof, and somebody else grabs it and puts it on their roof, and they have no roof. I mean, house after house after house, neighborhood after neighborhood is like that in many third world countries. They have absolutely nothing, no car. They're lucky if they have clothes to wear. And then I look at my life and I say, you know what? I truly am blessed by God. I truly am blessed by God. And see, giving is God's way of blessing and teaching. And by the way, I believe our nation has been blessed by God because it was formed originally on God. Amen. Amen. Amen? But if our nation, as they are, slipping and turning away from God step by step, I tell you what, the blessings of God are going to be withheld on our country. We're going to face a lot of trouble collectively as a country because we're turning our backs on God's will and his ways. Kicking him out of the schools, kicking the Ten Commandments out, allowing ungodly things to be legalized, lawlessness to go on in our society. Those things are going to bring trouble in this country. Amen. So we have to understand that these are principles that will cause us to have God's blessings. All right, verse 29. He that troubleth his, verse 29. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. Now, I think he's teaching here that in the context of the scripture here is this man that withholds. He troubles his own house because God does not send back to him. And so he's troubling his own house. And so God's teaching him, hey, it brings you trouble. And the servant shall, the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. The wise. See, the wise man is the one that will be blessed. This is the picture of wisdom. The wise man, the one who learns to give, is this blessed man. Verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, a righteous life is a life that gives to others. It provides shade and sustenance to others. It's not artificial, but it grows out of him. It is this blessed life that God wants to use and bless him with. And from that comes a desire to see others won to Christ. Verse 30, he that winneth souls is wise. And obviously it implies that the soul has a need. The soul has a need. The soul has a need to be saved. It has a need to be won over by the principles of Christ. How many of you have been won over by God's principles? Amen. They work. God's principles will win us over. But now he's talking about a soul, so he's talking about a lost man here. And the lost man, his life is blessed by this giver who is, his life is pictured like a tree of life. He provides shade, he provides sustenance. You know, this kind of man is a man that out of him grows the goodness of God to give. And he gives and he sees from that giving souls saved and lives changed. Man, I tell you, that's what Scriptures is trying to get into our minds and in our hearts, is this great need. Somebody who says, I've given, but I've never seen God return it. Oh, really? Have you really counted? Have you really looked to see what God has returned? Because I'll tell you what, if we just have a heart to see what God can do through us, how God can bless us through what we do by giving, God will take what we give and use it in the lives of other people. That's what I love about missions. You know, the Apostle Paul said, when he went to the church, he said, not that I desire a gift. He said, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And when we support missions, these missionaries are on the field giving the gospel. And by the way, it's very important to give to the right causes. Amen? Now, this may sound a little bit cruel to some of you, but I don't give to somebody who's along the street begging. You say, why? Because I don't know if they're going to take the money that God gave me and go buy cigarettes or liquor with it. And I don't want the money that God gave me to go to an unwise purpose. So I take what I give it to God, give it to missions, give it to people who are trying to serve the Lord, doing the right thing, and take that. Hey, listen, that amount of what we do for missions will abound to our account, to your account. And that's where the blessings and the rewards are of God. And it will make our lives truly and genuinely blessed to give. You don't find joy in receiving. You know, whenever I've gotten a new car, I've thought, man, I like this car. Man, this thing is nice. Amen. Woo! Yeah. It's an amazing thing, though. After about 5 or 6 years, you know what? That car doesn't look so great anymore. Amen? It loses its luster. We're ready to trade it in. Right? Then you get that new one, you're like, woo, yeah, I got a new car, new truck, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong at all. But what I'm trying to show you is that they do not produce lasting joy. They produce a temporary thrill, maybe, but they don't bring a lasting peace and a lasting happiness. And, you know, they take those cars after 15, 20 years, they put them in a crusher, squish them down into a box, 4x4, send it to the melting yard, they melt it down, make a whole nother car out of it. You know, you may be driving a 1932 Packard. You have no idea. I mean, they take those things and melt them down. They just do not last. But when you do something for the Lord, it lasts eternally. It never fades away. You know, I think I could teach this truth till I'm blue in the face. But it's something that you have to catch in your own mind, in your own heart. It's something that God has to work in you to desire to see and do. But when you do see it and fulfill it, boy, it brings joy. It brings great. It brings fulfillment of life. Genuine fulfillment in life. All right. Let's go on here. Last verse. Verse 31. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. Now, this verse makes clear that our rewards for giving are not just in heaven. They come on this earth, right? And thank God that we're going to be rewarded and blessed in heaven. But God is faithful to reward and bless in this earth. Amen? God will reward us in this earth. And He sees that we're going to be recompensed on this earth. And in Luke chapter 14, it tells a story about a man who created a great supper. And when the supper was all ready, and it's a picture of heaven. But when this supper was all ready, he called his servants. He said, go out and tell everyone time to come. And nobody came. Nobody came. And so he said, go out into the streets and lanes of the city. Go out and bring in hither the poor, the lame, the halt, the blind. He said, bring in anybody that'll come. This dinner is already ready. Bring them all in. Let them hear the gospel. And by the way, the word of God is not an exclusive thing. It's for everyone of every gender, every generation, every nationality, of every life. God's word is for everybody. Amen. Amen. But bring them in. And the Bible makes this promise in Luke chapter 14. It says, they that come into this meal, they cannot recompense you. In other words, they can't pay you back. But God said, thou shalt be recompensed on the day of judgment. So there's coming a day when what we give or what we do for God is going to be recompense back to us. Amen? You know, our motive shouldn't be to give to receive. Our motive should be to give out of a desire to God. And God's part is to see to it that he returns to us what he's told us to do. And he will. Amen? Well, I'll tell you what. It's a wonderful principle that with God's help, we can grab hold of it and we can see what God is teaching, and it brings us into a wise life. Amen? Wisdom is the goal, isn't it? Wisdom's the theme. And in giving, we find much wisdom. All right, well, we will stop here today and we will pick up on chapter 12 next week and start on this chapter, verse 12. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning, and thank you for the